I'm rejoicing in the great mercy exchange. The great mercy exchange. What he was made for me, sin, death, guilt, shame. And for that, he gave me eternal life. He gave me his very life. He gave us bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. His very body, his life that does not and cannot sin. By faith, my guilt for his life. Think of that. Your guilt for his life. We rejoice last week. Not only do we confess that our Lord is Savior, that he died for our sin, but I thank God for that depth. I confess his guilt for me. I confess and believe that he was made sin for me. And in that, I am imputed his life. Thanks be to God, we are made the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you think about that, how heart-exploding it is that this grace, this great grace that he has given, and yet it wasn't just given to be born, it was given to grow up and to grow up fully in him. Now, we've been introduced in the first three chapters, and it's been thoroughly established, the guilt of man. All men are guilty. Every man is born in sin, shapen in iniquity. And the only way is the way of redemption, faith in the blood of the Son. Praise God. And in chapter 4, what's going to happen is he's going to bring us in remembrance of two of the most maybe glorious lives, or two of the most glorious lives in the Old Testament, Abraham and David. And they are going to shine by God's grace to us as examples of the grace plan. You know, some people, when you start speaking of the grace plan, they think that that only started in the New Testament. And how sad. The grace plan is the very plan of God from the very beginning. And I believe the Lord says, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The grace plan is the plan of it all. That grace should be magnified. The mercy of the Lord. Wasn't anything different in the Old Testament with those and how they were drawn to God. It was by grace. It was the love of God. Those men were the same as we are today. They were guilty. They were dead in sin. Praise be to God for the blood of the Lamb. Now, how beautiful, as we open up right here, the first example we have is Abraham. So let's begin reading verses 1 through 4. It says, what shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. See, when we're glorying in our works, we're just glorying before man. That's it. That's man's glory. But there is no glory in works before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So here we have one of the most beautiful statements in the entire word of God. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. The simplicity of it all, this wonderful foundation, the only thing that pleases God, faith. And I love that word counted. That word counted means reckoned. It means determined. But even more so, it means judged. I love that. That word counted, it means judged. I love that faith judged, praise God, him righteous. His faith judged him righteous. Faith is the judge. I love that. Praise God. And why? Because it's the faith of the Son of God who loved him, me, and gave himself for me. Brothers and sisters, faith must be rewarded. It's God's way. It's God's plan. Works will never be rewarded, but faith in God's word is always rewarded, and it is the only thing that is rewarded. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. John 3:16. How wonderful. Believe in me. It's by faith. We thank the Lord. It's never changed. This is the way that God has chosen, the way through his Son. Now, think of this. It's the way, faith and not works. Faith and not works receives every promise. And that, brothers and sisters, is the glory of it all with God, is faith. And counted goes on in its meaning. Counted not only means to reckon, to determine, or to judge. It means to calculate or to count up and to add. So this righteousness that we have been made for him, it can grow. Even though we are very righteous, praise God, the very righteousness of God, we still can grow in that righteousness. And that's what this counted or adding up means. By more believing, we can grow in our righteousness. See, righteousness never comes by works. Many people believe in some sad way. Yes, wonderful. You believe by faith in Jesus Christ for your salvation. But then somehow we're going to be made more acceptable to God, more godly, if you will, by works. It says righteousness doesn't come by works. Righteousness comes by faith. So how would more righteousness come? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how righteousness comes. You have to know the truth. And to know more and more truth and believing more and more truth. See, it's not just knowing, it's believing. You can know something and not believe it. You understand what I'm saying. And we know that because we've grown in the word of God. It wasn't everything. God has to, I'll tell you what, he has to make it real to you. Yes, he does. And how does he make faith alive and real to you? Faith with which worketh by love. Isn't it wonderful? See, it always comes back to that love. And that's why Jesus Christ says that we would know the love of Christ, written by the Apostle Paul. Every bit of it. That is the focus of it. That's the intent of it. And praise be to God, that love, hallelujah, is rewarded. And that love, as we grow into it, praise God, it can receive a full reward. So, once again, if this righteousness comes by faith, and we can grow in more righteousness by growing in faith, and faith worketh by love, then praise be to God, you better get into Paul's gospel. Because that's the love gospel. That's the bridal love. That's the height of the love. Amen? So if it's the height of love, it's going to activate faith in its greatest power. Matter of fact, it's called the most holy faith. Because that great love will set you far, far apart. So far apart, it'll take you even into the inner chamber. Amen? The intimate places. It takes you unto him out from among the camp. And how beautiful. It all fits together perfectly. Because this is the intent of God, this faith that he has given us. And really, we know that that faith is by grace. So, we want to win Christ. Amen, we want to win Christ. Praise be to God, it is by faith. And the more faith, praise God, by the more knowledge. See, faith grows by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. That's the knowledge of our Lord. That's why people today aren't growing in the Lord. They're not hearing truth. They're not receiving the word of God. They're receiving lots of entertaining sermons, lots of things that are maybe applicable to this world and today and the causes of today. Lots of things about self-help and becoming a better person and all of these things. But that if truly growing in righteousness is what you're after, by the grace of God, it's got to be faith. It has to be faith. And once again, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's so beautifully perfect. It's so exact. It's such a mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Thank you, Lord. That's why I'm grateful to God. We're accustomed and we're very used to Bible studies. Bible studies to a lot of folks aren't very familiar. What? You have Bible study too? Oh, yes. Prayer meeting as well. Well, what do you do with that? Well, we pray. We worship the Lord together. And, you know, it's an interesting world that this world has become. But I'm so thankful the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, to win Christ is faith. And the more faith, the more knowledge. The more knowledge and faith, the more growth. The more maturity, praise God. The more of the fullness of the righteousness that we have been made for Him. So we can grow up into the very fullness, measure, and the stature of Jesus Christ. It sounds too good to be true, but isn't everything about the Word of God? It is, it's too good. But it is true. It is true that God gave His only begotten Son to be made one of us, to come to this earth, to live that perfect life for us, and then to take upon Him all the sin, guilt, shame, and death. That's too good. But that's who God is. Because God announced, I'm love. I'm love. And I don't believe we could ever, no, there isn't. There's no way. There's no other thought that even could get close to this plan of God in revealing true love, pure love for man. It's a love plan. It's not a judgment plan. It really isn't. It's a love plan. He would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. I'm thankful to be able to tell people that hell was not made and was not intended for men. It was for the fallen angels, but God knew it would serve a purpose. Sin will be judged. And how beautiful that in one moment, a mustard seed of faith, by saying, Jesus, I take you as my Savior, it's gone. As if it never even ever existed, gone. Yes, too good. But what would be too good for God? It's just all too good. But the best thing about God is nothing's too hard. Isn't that beautiful? I'm not too hard for God. I'm just too hard for me. But I'm not too hard for God. And I thank the Lord that what He said is true. But see, we can grow up into all things in Christ Jesus. We grow up into a life, not that's kind of like Him, but like Him. Like Him. Amen? See, no wonder the goal, the prize, as Paul revealed, and as Paul revealed that was in his heart over there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 6. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. He says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I love how in the Greek that is defined. That crown of righteousness is the exalted rank of righteousness crown. It's the maturity and growth to the fullest extent of this righteousness. How did that righteousness come that we've just read? By faith. How did faith come? To that extent, by hearing Paul's gospel. How was it shed abroad in my heart? By the love of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's the beauty of it. See, the Holy Ghost, that worshiper drawing nigh in fervent love to kiss Him, that's what the Holy Ghost sets off in your life. I thank the Lord we come in here and yes, there's worship, but there's an intimacy of worship. And that intimacy of worship is where the Holy Ghost will take you. He'll take you into an intimacy that you'll find and see with those Gentile Old Testament brides. They went beyond anyone else. They did. But they went in boldness of love. They were going to take down, if you will, I'm going to take down that bridegroom. I'm going to go get him. I'm going in there. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I even had a mother-in-law, as old Ruth did. You get in there at night. You lay at his feet. And honey, get in there. She got him. Because she made the move in love. Just like Tamar. Just like Rebecca. They all had the faith. And all believed. Praise God. That's for me. That's mine. Now, brothers and sisters, the glory of it all, praise his name, is this faith. Now, going back to verse 4. Notice this. I love this. It says there, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Works are rewarded with debt. I believe that we read in the Word of God that the debt has been paid. Why would I want debt? Why would I want to owe anything when whom he has made free is free indeed? And the riches of his grace that he has bestowed on his vessels of mercy. So there is no growth. There's only debt. There is no growth in works. And it can't be, because the only way we can grow is how? 2 Peter 3:18 tells us, we grow in grace. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? So the reward of faith, the reward of believing, is grace. Grace gave us the faith, and faith by his grace gives us more grace. So that's what his masterpiece is. It's faith in his grace. Faith, praise God, in his grace to be that masterpiece for him, to be his wife. She is the masterpiece of grace. Our faith, praise God, brothers and sisters, it must grow up fully in grace, not in works, but in grace to win Christ Jesus as bridegroom. Just like Brother Paul, the last thing he said to the Ephesian elders at Ephesus, after he'd been with them for these 3 years, as he tells them in Acts 20:32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. See, the word of his grace. He didn't say, I commend you and I want you to go out there and do a bunch of missions. He didn't tell them, I commend you and I want you to go out there and I just want you to do all the good works that you can do. And these were the elders. These were ones by the grace of God that should know the word of God. And what did he commend them to? That means the much, the more earnest. Don't neglect so great salvation, brothers. I commend you to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I love that. And that builds you up. That's a building. That's a masterpiece. Praise God. And you think of what he is building. Just like we were rejoicing when we had the studies on Moses. And Moses said, oh, I want to see the glory of God. Show me that glory. And we saw that the back parts was a future thing. Yeah, it's a future thing. It's a city. Praise God, it's the bride, that holy Jerusalem descending from heaven, having the glory of God. He's building that masterpiece. I want to be that for him. That's by the grace of God. Thank him for these things. Praise God. And by faith we grow in it. And we can know this entire word, brothers and sisters. And listen to this. We can know the entire word of God. But it's the believing and confidence in grace to perform it that is the power that accomplishes it. It's not your knowledge. It's not just what you know. It's what you're believing grace for in what you know. Grace is the sufficiency. See, and that's the beautiful thing. See, we can be stuck in thinking that we're so mighty in our knowledge that we refuse grace, that I get so arrogant in what I know because I'm an authority on bridal truth. What? No, I want to tell you about my lover. I want to tell you about the lover of my soul. I want to tell you about my bridegroom. I don't want to approach you my authority about bridal truth. No. But then we can be so discouraged in knowing bridal truth that we can say, well, I can never attain to that. I know it, but I'm just no good. You see, both of those things can miss it because both of them are lacking confidence in grace, which is the only thing that can perform it. Amen? The enemy would want to mess with us any way he can. Any way he can. But thanks be to God for the all-sufficient grace. And we have all grace, don't we? Not just some. You have it all. That tank is full and overflowing with grace. It's all there. Faith in the grace of God. Faith in what he's imputed to us. And think of the grace, because the life that lives in you is the very life of Jesus Christ. The very life of Jesus Christ. Amen? And the life I live by the faith of the Son of God. What can't I believe in the Word of God? Nothing. There isn't anything that I can't believe. By the grace of God, it's all there. That life of Christ in me is there to grow up into all of it. The capacity of faith is unlimited. And it's not unlimited because of who I am or what family I'm from. It's unlimited because of the life of Christ that lives in me. Amen. Amen. He said, he that will know of the truth. He that would want to know the will of God, you'll know that will. Ask him. And he said, you'll receive. So, let's go ahead and read verses 5 through 8. Going back to Romans. Now, it says there, but to him that worketh not, but believes on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Boy, that burns a lot of people. Man, I've been working and doing all these things, and you're just telling me that guy that believes God is counted for him for righteousness? Yep, debtor. Yes, debtor. He's rich. He's rich. Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man, the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works. You think David loved his brother? Boy, he loved him. And he loved him because he knew they were blessed. He knew they were blessed. Even Saul, who was after him. See, touch not God's anointed. He knew he was blessed. He was the Lord's. And he even knew that God imputed righteousness without works to even old King Saul. Yes, he did. Praise God. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. Isn't that wonderful? See, not only is blessed is the man whom God imputes righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Oh, I love that. So wonderful. We're going to get to that word impute too. It's the same word as count. It's the same word in the Hebrew is counted. Counted unto him, imputed unto him. It's judged, it's done, it's reckoned. It's added, it's calculated, and it's exact. And I thank God for how beautiful that is. David said these things in Psalm 32. Blessed is not the man who has a lot of things. Blessed is not the man who has a rich life. Blessed is not the good man. Shoot, didn't the Word of God tell us that Saul was the goodly man? Yes, it did. Saul was the goodly man. King Saul was the goodly man. David was the bloody man. Who is the man after God's own heart? The good man or the bloody man? Bloody man. Amen. I believe we got a chance. Praise God. So, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. Blessed is the man whom God will not impute sin. Blessed is the man who's free of guilt. Brothers and sisters, do you know that you're free of guilt? Oh, I pray that you just take that. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. He took all your guilt. So if he told you that he took all your guilt, why are you taking something that you can't have? He took it. It's his. You see, it's a lie when I try to take it. It's just something that's confusing me that doesn't even concern me because he took it all. He took my guilt just like he took my sin. Amen? Think of that. So if he took your sin, did he not take your guilt too? Did he not take your shame too? How many Christians do you know? I wouldn't be talking about you. You know that. I don't think. Or me, maybe. Oh, I know the Lord took my sin, but oh, this guilt, I just got to carry it around. It makes me feel so good. Where are we with the Lord? Come on now. See, you say, well, you should feel bad. See, that's the thing about faith and true faith in the grace of God. To children of God that don't understand, that can appear to be something that's arrogant. And it's the truth. It's the truth. How many people have you talked to about the bride of Christ that they say to you, oh, you think you're better than me? You don't get it. This is for you. This is something you have just as much as I do. You have the life to have that just as much as I do. But the thing that's lacking in your life is you're making vain the grace of God. I don't want to make that vain. I know what he finished for me on the cross. I know the all-powerful blood of Christ. And salvation was just the beginning. Just the beginning. Oh, and all this will be added unto you. Oh, what he's adding. Counted, imputed. It's adding. Listen to him right now. I'm listening. What he's imputed and counted and adding. Praise God. Now, here we go. So, blessed is the man that's free from guilt, that's free from shame. Blessed is the man that there's now no condemnation. And every child of God is fully blessed by God with that. And I will say it like this. Every child of God is blessed with that peace. That's peace. Yes, it is, isn't it? That's peace and rest. That's peace and rest. I'm thankful, Jesus, in your finished work. How many times we feel bad about things, and I get that. How many times I wish I would have said something different, or maybe this way or that. Do I still not trust Romans 8:28? I tell you what, growing up here, I've seen a lot of things. I've heard a lot of wonderful people of God, and even my pastor for many years, say things that I went, did he just say that? Wow. How's that going to work out? Is that guy ever going to come back to church? Couldn't he said it with a little more salt? Well, sure. The Word of God encourages us all these different things. But I'll tell you what. You'll have no one to blame if you miss winning God's best but you. No one. No one. Now, by the grace of God, I want to be an edifying vessel. I do. As Brother Paul said, I don't want to do anything that would discourage people from the truth. I don't want to do anything that would hurt somebody from going on in the gospel. I want to be a testimony of it. But I'll tell you what, before all that happens, you better learn to trust God. You better learn to trust God and believe the Lord. Believe in this wonderful grace. And I'll tell you what, He'll begin to will and do of His good pleasure in your life. But see, righteousness without works. Righteousness without works. It never changes. And I'm so thankful I know that. That's huge. Very few people of God really, really know that. And it's sad. Because I believe that's all we've really been reading about in the first four chapters of Romans. Amen? And especially in this glorious chapter. It's righteousness without works. Why is somehow it's going to change if God started out that way with your initial salvation? Why is He going to do a change around and say, well, yep, salvation was righteousness without works, but growing up in the Lord and growing up in me, I want to see your works. I want you to do. It doesn't make any sense. Because He gave you the life of His Son. Amen? To grow up in. Amen? And then in that life growing up, what happens? He causes you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Because it's His life that lives in you. And as you feed that life becomes more like who? Like Him. You begin to understand that you died at the moment of salvation. You died. You died. And now Christ lives in you. Praise God how this works. It's a marvelous thing. A blessed life is not a life of self-righteousness. Matter of fact, as the Word of God says, it's a life of debt. The blessed life is rejoicing in the blood of the Lamb. Rejoicing that He forgave my sin for His sake. I go boldly to the throne of grace with that. Obtaining mercy to find grace in time of help, time of need. Praise God. Amen. That's it. I love that little King Josiah. I was thinking about him. He had a Passover. Over 40,000 animals were sacrificed at that Passover. I mean, he was nuts about the blood of the Lamb. He was nuts about the blood. Praise God, he was. Because why? Well, because that blood was all cleansing. That blood was all powerful. That blood was the atonement. Amen. One wasn't going to do. Well, I got 33,000. My buddies over here got 6. I got a few more fellas that got 3,300. Count them all up. Over 40,000. Tell you what, those priests were tired by the time that got done. The blood. The blood. Hallelujah. Now, isn't it wonderful? These statements that we've just read here. Of grace through faith. Who are they by? Abraham and David. Think of that. These beautiful statements were said, stated of. This was the conversations that went back and forth between them and God. Their boast was never in their works or the law. Their boast was never in their works or the law. It was always God's mercy and grace. And praise be to God, it's never changed. It's never changed. It's still the same. It's all by faith. The beautiful plan of God, all by faith. Now, verses 9 through 12. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness, of the faith which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. It's so beautiful. And God did it in one precious brother to bring this testimony to us. A brother, by the way, that he called out of an idol shop. A brother that was, let's just say it as it is, pure grace. Oh, I got my eye up on you, idol maker. It's just like with Saul that became the Apostle Paul. It was to show off and magnify the grace of God. Why was it Abraham? Why was it the guy in the idol shop? Why was it the better guy that was maybe not in the idol shop? Because that's my guy. That's my grace guy. I'm going to show my grace in that guy. And it bothers the self-righteous. Always does. Always will. Galatians 3:17 reminds us, Abraham lived 430 years before the law was ever given. Abraham lived 430 years before the law was ever given. So I'm going to ask you, how could the law have ever been righteous, made Abraham righteous when it hadn't even been given yet? And the answer is, it couldn't and it didn't. It was by faith. That's what's so beautiful here, is that Abraham's faith was counted for righteousness. The law had not been given. And yet, who's the father of our faith? It's Abraham. It's Abraham. And that's what's so sweet about it, is it's showing off there that righteousness is imputed not by works, but by faith. Not by the law. And this was how it was done. It was shown very clearly that this one who magnifies the way to the righteousness of God, Abraham, the law wasn't even around, so it couldn't have had anything to do with it. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? It's a matter of fact, only God. Hallelujah. So, that's how appropriate this is. And he believed God, as it says here, being uncircumcised. So, Abraham, a Gentile, believed God, uncircumcised. Now later, Abraham, he gets circumcised because God tells him. And by grace, he continued on in the what? The same faith, growing up in his righteousness. So Abraham, whether uncircumcised or circumcised, believed God. And it was all the same for justification. It was all by faith. How sweet. One guy, out of an idol shop, magnifying my grace. Law don't exist. He's the father of faith. So it couldn't be of law or works. Not circumcised. But then God's going to call him to be circumcised. And it was the same faith that justified him. And same faith that he grew in righteousness all the way along. Yes. See how the word of God has not changed? And that's where people, they just try to manipulate the word of God. I'm talking about even Christians. And say, well, this is what Paul was talking about when, you know, he was bringing in the mystery of Christ and this dispensation. It was grace. It just hit your head. It was grace all the time. And it was grace to the uncircumcised and it was grace to the circumcised. It was faith to the uncircumcised. It was faith to the circumcised. It was faith to the Jew and the Gentile. It did not matter. You could still enter in. And you know how? By faith. It was the bridal truth that was brought in. Thank you, Jesus. So I pray that that'll give that a little bit more clarity for you. And as we enjoyed in Hebrews 11 last Sunday, we rejoice that God called Abraham, right? Didn't he? He called Abraham, didn't he? Chose Abraham, called him, chose him. Sounds like you. And what did he do? He called him to possess the land. He called him to possess his promise. And what did Abraham say? Yes. I'll go. I don't know where I'm going. But I know God's got something good. Because I believe God. I believe God. He was called out of that by God. And he said, God, I believe you. I don't know where you're taking me. But I believe your promise to me. And he went. And he went in. And what happened? He possessed it all. And praise be to God, that same encouragement to us, but to us that have even great, exceeding, and more precious promises, as the Word of God tells us right there in Hebrews chapter 11, we even have a better thing, God called us, God chose us, and we enter into our exceeding promises the same way. Yes, God, by faith. I just step on in and I occupy it the same way, the same exact way. And really soak up verse 12 as we read that. I love that. And the Father of our circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but also who also walk in the steps of that faith, that's believing God, of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. See, it's not by natural birth. It's not by any physical act. It's not by any denomination's requirement. Think of all of the different organizations of churches and denominations that come at people and say, well, it's you got to be baptized in our church. You have to be a member of this. You have to commit to that. Let me tell you something. This is offered to all, and it's free. Freely to all. Freely to all. And anyone can enter in to the same believing as Abraham by faith. You see, that's what's so sad. Why these charlatans, truly, they want to starve people in the Word of God. This is for all. Thank you, Jesus. Now, verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. We're hearing the same thing over and over, and it's the diamond, isn't it? And, oh, I want to show you another facet, but I'm saying the same thing. But it just gets more glorious all the time because I'm seeing the whole thing. More color, more beauty, all of these different things. So the inheritance, whether to Abraham or his seed or any child of God, and that's us, to his seed, any child of God, is never through works of the law, but only by faith. Do you see what's being established in Romans? Do we see why this wonderful letter to the Romans is so vital, so necessary, such truly a hub of the Word of God? You have to understand this faith, the grace of God that gave us this faith to believe, that it's all in his Son. See, without this attitude of faith and grace, you'll never enter into God's depth. How important and vital faith is, the only way to please God. See, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the Word of God tells us very clearly, it's either faith or it's works. It is. You can't mix them. They don't mix. It's either faith or it's works. Amen. And if God's only pleased by faith, I believe I choose faith. Amen? Yeah. Let God have the glory. See, when you want to work, you want to feel good. That's the difference. Sometimes believing God don't make you feel good. I don't know if you really know that, but sometimes it don't. Because sometimes when we believe God and are really humbled, that can be something that don't feel necessarily good. Didn't the Word of God say it's sweet to the mouth and bitter to the stomach? Amen? But there's something about a satisfaction beyond anything when you do believe God. There's something about the ministering of the Word of God by the Spirit that'll satisfy you like nothing else. Even when it hurts so good. Amen. Now, faith must be rewarded. Yes. And the only way to grow up fully mature is by grace through faith. See, faith can't be denied. Faith is what makes it possible for God to perform all these promises in your life. How many times do you hear people say, well, I got to get this right to be godly. I got to get this right to really, you know, get into church. That's the enemy's way, because that means it'll never happen. It'll never happen. The way that makes it possible for God to perform everything, all the promises, is faith. It's not works. It's faith. But remember this. Remember this. True faith waits. Amen? Faith, true faith will wait. We know that the Word of God says that faith is not by sight. It waits. It believes. It calls those things which be not as though they were. Faith sees those things which be not as though they were. Amen? We're going to get to that verse in just a second. But that's the truth about faith. That's how beautiful it is. And then verse 15, it says, because the law worketh wrath, and I love this, for where no law is, there is no transgression. That's where I'm at. That's where every child of God's at. But are you aware of it? Are you alive to it? Do you thank him? Do you praise him for it? Is it your rejoicing every day? I mean, I'm brand new. I got his life. Christ liveth in me. How beautiful is our Lord. See, the law works wrath. Ones that are caught in legality, that self righteousness, condemning others, judgment, there's no peace. There's no peace in that. And even a Christian that leans that way, there's no peace. There's no rest. There's no love. Embracing works makes you a stooge of the devil. But we are in grace. And where there is no law, there is no sin. And all I can say is, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm free. I'm free. Amen. Yeah, just thank him for that. It's beautiful. And then what a highlight we have in verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith. Why? That it might be by grace. See? To have faith, it's got to be grace. Yes. Know that. That's, again, the heart that's in tune with the throne of grace, with the God of all grace. My faith is because of his grace. He gave it to me. And I thank the Lord. And then in that, I depend upon him for more faith. I go to him boldly. I go boldly to the throne of grace to get faith. If I want to be strong in faith, you know where I go? Throne of grace. Isn't all sufficiency in grace? Or is all sufficiency in faith? It's in the grace of God. That's where everything is. That's where all the power is. And you ask at that throne. You ask, and it shall be given. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Well, let me tell you something. If you're asking for faith to believe God, I'll tell you what, God's going to give it. He'll give you that faith. Oh, yes, he will. He's not going to deny that faith. He wants you to have that faith. That's what pleases him. But in asking for that faith, what do I have to have? I have to have knowledge of the truth. Amen? Yeah. I have to have knowledge of the word of his grace. Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So this is all working together. It's a marvelous work of grace. He gives me the grace to have faith. He gives me the word of his grace to want the faith, to believe that word of his grace. And then he gives me the grace and the power to have that faith, to believe that word of his grace, and then to go on and to walk in it and to have more grace, to have more faith, to believe more of the word of his grace. That's the truth. In a nutshell, that, by the grace of God, is our life. Amen? So beautiful. And how simple that is. We make it so hard, but that is the simplicity of the truth. So, verse 16, it says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be of grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And that's why this faith is of grace. This fourth chapter is so rich. You see how rich this is? I mean, this just hits it so plainly. So many want to peg works to faith. The working of faith is clearly stated right here. The working of faith is grace. The working of faith is grace. Faith, praise God, is a gift to us. It's by grace. And this faith we have, the faith of the Son of God, that's Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Amen? And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So that faith that I live by, who gave that to me? Jesus. How did it come? By his life that lives in me. How did I get it? Because I died and now he lives in me. That's the faith of the Son of God that was given to me by the grace of God. And that is the working of faith. That's the working of faith. I'll show you my faith by my works. Grace. True faith magnifies grace, honeys. Know that. It praises him for his grace. Everything is to the glory of his grace. Yeah. That's why Paul said at the end, and he did, he had to boast. He said, let me tell you, you all are fussing about what you've done for the Lord. Let me tell you about my shipwrecks and stonings and all of these things. But I'll tell you what. It's because of the grace of God that was with me. Grace worked all that. See? Know that. How wonderful to know it and rejoice that the power of the Christ in you, the hope of glory, is that grace. Now, verse 17. Close this up here soon. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. See, that's the stellar encouragement for us to win Christ. Calling those things which be not as though they were. Let's see what Abraham did here in verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope. That sounds like my everyday. Sound like your everyday? Man, this is against hope. I'm still going to believe in hope. I've had people say, you don't even have a hope. Well, I do. I got a prayer and I'm hoping. That he might become the father of many nations. And again, it was against hope. How could this happen? He he's talking about when he was old. You're going to see what he's saying here. That he might be the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken. See, according to the word of God. According to the promise of God that God had told him. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. This is so beautiful. He saw the reality of his age. He knew what was happening. He wasn't make-believing what the circumstances were. He called it what it was. I'm an old man. A very old man. Matter of fact, like a dead old man. I'm a sack of bones. And my wife, by the way, she's got a dead womb. That means it's dead. There's no fruit coming out of that. This ain't happening according to man. But he didn't look at the appearance of all that. He understood it. He could see it. But he stood on the promises of God. And he said, God has done this. His promises, praise God, are yea and amen. He has finished this. He did not stagger at the promises of God. And just like we say in 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's even more mighty a statement of faith. If you really, really know what the Holy Ghost is ministering through John to us is in that. We're talking the fullness, measure, and stature of Christ seeing him. We're talking about a joint heir together with Jesus Christ, glorified together with him. And thanks be to God for the faith of our father, Abraham, who showed us, well, this is against hope, looking at the likes of us. Huh? Oh, and decade upon decade, abiding and waiting for the Lord. But thanks be to God, this truth and his promises have not changed. They're yea and amen. And them that don't stagger at them, them that enter in, like Abraham entered into his promise, there were enemies in that land. It was a strange place in a certain way. But God told Abraham, son, that's yours. And that's the difference, and that's the beauty, and that's why Abraham truly is the pinnacle of that faith, the simplicity of that faith. He believed God. He just believed God. He didn't care how it looked. He didn't care how many mistakes he made while he was in that promise, did he? And he made mistakes. He had lapses of faith with his personal life. He did. He made some very bad decisions in his personal life, in trusting God with certain things. But the one thing he never wavered on is what God had promised him. Brothers and sisters, we will have lapses of believing God about things. The one thing, never have a lapse of believing God. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Don't draw back. Don't neglect so great salvation. He that shall come will come and will not tarry. All them also that love his appearing, you'll have that crown just like me, Paul said. You'll have it. It's that love. Don't doubt his love. And I'm talking about the bridal love for you to have that most exceeding promise. To have and be the very riches of his glory for him forever. Stagger not. Believe God. And Abraham in verse 20, I'm sure appreciating Abraham more and more because he believed God. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. See, the key and the evidence of real faith, the most holy faith, it gives glory to God. And it gives glory to God even before he does it. I give glory to God right now because he will finish the good work which he's begun in me. And every day there's times it doth not appear, but I know because I'm giving him the glory for what he's finishing in my life. I believe in that grace. I believe in that grace. It's all powerful, and it will perform the good work which he's begun. He'll perfect everything that concerns me. And I glory in his promise. I glory in the passion that he has for his promise. You know, he's passionate about his promises. You know why he's passionate about his promises? Because they're for you. He's passionate about you. And that's why he gives. That's why he gives and he gives and he gives and he withholds nothing. And all he does, truly, moment by moment, he just wants you to take of me, take of me. Oh my. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. It's done. Abraham just said, it's done. You're a nut, Abraham. Nope, it's done. His wife laughed. But he said, oh, honey, he'll perform it. He'll perform it. I'll go along with these things. I have lots of ideas why Abraham went along. Never mind. Probably not to be discussed from a pulpit. But he still believed God. He knew even in some folly, if you will, follies of life, God is still faithful to his promise. And if you'll stand in it and expect it, he's not going to give it to you because you're working something. He bestows it to you because you believe. Believing God does change your life, though. Know that. It changes you. It gets you to be concerned about the things above and not the things of this life. When that happens, you transform. You transform into godliness. Truly. You begin to think about the things of him. But then there in verse 22, look at that. We get back to that wonderful word. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Imputed. That same wonderful word is counted. To add, to calculate, to reckon, to build. Oh, I love that. It means to build. To add. And we are being built up. Imputed. Imputed, if you will. It adds and adds this lovely righteousness that we've been made for him. From glory to glory into his very image, it adds and adds all by the grace of God. Verse 23, look at. Now it is written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Oh, let's go on. But for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. The masterpiece building of grace, imputed. Just believe. How wonderful. And so sweetly, we come to the conclusion of this tonight. Confirming our peace with God, righteousness justified by faith. That confirms our peace with God to give us the peace of God. See, when you take that simple faith, that righteousness doesn't come by works. You have the peace with God, and you have the peace of God. They're not two separate things. They're really not. It's the same thing. It's the same wonderful grace that gives you it all. You see that? You have peace with God, you really do have the peace of God. You have it, but do you know it? I don't have it any more than anyone else that's a child of God. It's just I might know it more. I live it. I love it. It's my rejoicing. He says here, I was delivered for your offenses. Isn't that beautiful? The very last verse. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. This is so mighty. This is all. Now, our offenses. I've heard people say, well, that talked about all of your offenses that were in the past at the moment that you gave your life to Christ. That's true. I agree. You know why? Because he gave me his life at that moment. What do you mean? Well, Jesse, praise God, he died. So in all those transgressions, if you will, that just added up by the time I was 5 years old, maybe four, I don't know. That moment I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, that little fella, he died. That little sinful fella, he died. And then, praise God, the new man lives in me. So that old sinful thing is dead. And now the only life I got is Jesus. Amen. His life lives in me. I believe that we read in John, it's a life that does not and cannot sin. So why would I ever worry about any present or future sin? Because it doesn't concern me. Amen? Amen. That's the reason it talks about my offenses, in a sense, in the past. I know there's now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, because there couldn't be, because it's in Christ. And we're in Him, we're of Him. Thank you, Lord. How beautiful. Because the power of my resurrection is what it's saying here as we close this. The power of my resurrection justified you, free from guilt. And there will never be charge or condemnation ever laid to your account. Now that's the all power of His resurrection grace. And I love that. The resurrection grace. Jesse died, the new man lives in me. For me to believe that now I can do all things through Christ who lives in me. Christ's resurrection power that lives in me. That's resurrection grace. Hallelujah. Raised in it. And I can attain, and you can attain to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, because the provision of the power of the blood. The power of the blood that has delivered you from everything. The power of the blood that has given you the victory now to walk in it by faith, to believe Him and rest. Just as Abraham, it's mine. It's mine. He called you the same way. Would you argue with the story of Abraham that it wasn't for him? That he was called and chosen? Would you argue with Abraham? Well, you know, Abraham, you kind of messed up out here in the promise. You know, you gave your wife away and, you know, you could have believed God. You could have really been a good Christian and, you know, you really didn't give us a good example. And, you know, you're really sad, man. No. No, you don't understand what I'm saying here. You wouldn't question it at all. And why? Because it's God's promise to him. God help us not to question His promise to us. There's no difference. This is why Abraham's called the father of us all. That's why. It's not because of a man and his skin and different things. It's because of faith. It's because of faith. This simple, all beautiful faith. And He gave you this promise because He gave you this word. See, the word is His promise. Amen? That was what was happening to Abraham. He says, what was spoken unto me. Was this not spoken unto you? Was Paul's gospel not spoken unto you? That's how God gives you a promise. He speaks it. And He says, my sheep hear my voice. Those are the promise receivers, by the way. Those dumb sheep, and I'm one of them. But I'll tell you one thing. Us sheep, we can grow wise unto our salvation. Amen? And not neglect it. Salvation with eternal glory. Praise God. Praise God. Let's stand, be dismissed.